Moses was considered a new Moses. And so he was expected to issue commandments like the old Moses. And with his gift for simplification, he issued one command. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. One command, one injunction, that you love one another like I have loved you. If you do what I command you, I call you friends. I no longer call you servants, because servants don't know what the master is doing. I call you friends, because all the Father has made known to me, I have made known to you. And you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit might abide. Christ offers us nothing more or less than the friendship of Christ. What do those words mean? Are they just simply a pious religious phrase? Or are they the very essence of life? What does it mean to enjoy the friendship of Christ? It means, first of all, that our Christ is our friend without qualification. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were estranged, Christ gave Himself for us. I can't help but envision the Last Supper as our Lord is going from disciple to disciple, washing their feet. And He looks up into the eyes of Judas, who He knows is about to betray Him, and He gives him one last look, as if to turn him from darkness back to light. And He washes his feet. He looks in the eyes of Peter, who's not nearly as strong as he thinks he is, who in just a few hours will deny he even knows Christ. And Jesus tries to warn him, but Peter won't hear, and He washes his feet, and He's willing to die for him. He loves them and us without qualification. Ponder in your mind's eye for just a moment your best friend. The friend who would do anything for you, would drop anything and come to your aid if you called, and you would do the same for them. Ponder that image. Do you love that friend? Does that friend love you? Because you always agree? Probably not. Many friendships are marked by a strong give and take. Do you love your friend? Does your best friend love you because you're so perfectly alike? Oftentimes, great friendships are formed by opposite attracting. Does your friend love you because you're just so gifted and just so wonderful? Probably not. So why do they love you and would do anything for you? Because it's just their nature. It's their nature to love you, and it's your nature to love them. It is Christ's nature to love us without qualification. He gives Himself to us absolutely. The friendship of Christ means that He does not hold our past against us. There's a great program on NPR on Saturday mornings hosted by Scott Simon. And a few months or so ago, he featured a woman who in her past was enslaved by addiction. Her marriage was crumbling. Her vocation was lost. She was about to lose possession of her children, and she was at the point of taking her life when she happened to turn on the radio and landed on a gospel station and heard the gospel classic. Jesus dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. And this song so captivated her, the liberation of Jesus not holding her sins against her. She went out and bought that song, put it on her phone, and in every dark moment she would play that song. Jesus dropped the charges and rendered her innocent. Jesus did not hold her sins against her. And she said that song became the theme of her life. She regained her vocation, lived a long life as a successful mother and wife and judge. And now she is dying of cancer. But like our bluegrass band said, she said, "I am ready to go because Jesus has dropped all charges against me and I am at peace." Nathanael, when invited to be a disciple of Jesus, says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus ignores the insult and says, "Come. Come, an Israelite in whom there is no guile," which means a man who speaks when he probably shouldn't. "Come be a disciple anyway." The woman at the well, guilty of a notorious past, but as we learned last Sunday, our Lord offered her living water. It is not our past that separates from Jesus, who embraces us. It is our unwillingness to step out of that past into the future that the friendship of Christ offers. The friendship of Christ means that Christ offers us room to grow. I was smiling because the image of two ladies come to mind. Two ladies in a former church. One of them was at a church function sitting down when the other lady came in. It's the first time she laid eyes on her, and she instantly didn't like her. Didn't like the way she was dressed, didn't like the way her attitude was. Just thought, that's not a good person. And her prayer was, "Lord, don't let her come sit by me." And God answered that prayer by directing that woman to the chair right next to her. And within 5 minutes, they were talking. And within 10 minutes, they knew they were soulmates. And 30 years later, 10,000 conversations later, they're now closer than sisters. They gave their friendship room to grow. Jesus couldn't have been more dissimilar from Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who was well-respected, well-connected, aristocratic, held in high esteem, and Jesus rocks his world by saying, "You must be born again. You must cast yourself upon God with absolute dependence in the same way an infant cast him or herself upon their parents." What Jesus doesn't say to Nicodemus is, "You have to be born again tonight." He just plants a seed in Nicodemus. He allows that seed to grow, allows Nicodemus to come to grips with that challenge to be born again, until Nicodemus finally claims faith in Christ for himself. The friendship of Christ doesn't expect us to come into faith instantly well-formed in all of our theology. Jesus allows us, as a friend, room to grow. The friendship of Christ means that he offers us second chances. Second chances. Jesus says to his friends among the most powerful words ever spoken, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And you know the place where I'm going." Thomas pipes up, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" The same Thomas who witnesses Jesus' ministry of miraculous deeds, his amazing teaching, his powerful presence. But he cannot wrap his mind around the idea that the Father could raise the Son from the dead. To this friend, to this disciple who couldn't even believe in the resurrection, Jesus says, "Come, put your finger in the holes. Feel the wound in my side. Peace, peace be with you." Philip says to Jesus, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." If Jesus had been wearing a visor at that moment, he would have taken it off in Steve Spurrier fashion and thrown it on the ground. "Philip, I have been with you for all of this time, and you ask me to show you the Father? You have seen me. Those who have seen me have seen the Father, you dimwit." But Philip remains a disciple. Jesus offers his friends second chances. To have the friendship of Jesus is to have a friend who abides with us in all things. When I was a very young pastor, I had a conversation with my chair of deacons, who was a much older man, very wise. We were talking about somebody in the church, and he said to me, "Preacher, don't trust that man too much. He won't walk across the desert with you. He'll turn back halfway." I can't tell you how many times I've thought about that phrase over the years. How many of our best and truest friends are those who can walk all the way across the desert with us and won't turn back? Jesus says, "I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you defeated. I will not leave you depressed. I will come to you. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you." "Behold," says Jesus, "you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you as my friend. And I appointed you to go out and bear fruit, spiritual fruit, fruit that abides." Christ is a friend who abides in us. He is the friend who laughs with us when we laugh and weeps with us when we weep. He goes to the presence of Mary and Martha as they've lost their brother, Lazarus. And when he sees the tomb of his good friend, he cries. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, cries. Then he says, "Lazarus, come forth. Unbind him and let him go." And when he restores Lazarus to his sisters, he laughs with them. Most of you have seen the TV show Friends. What's the theme song? "I'll be there for you." That's what Jesus says to us. "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll be there for you." Some of you would recognize the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the celebrated 19th century preachers. humongous church in London, and one day one of his best friends invited another friend to come hear Spurgeon for the first time. And after Spurgeon's oration, the friend turned to the friend and said, "What did you think of the sermon?" And the man answered, "I didn't hear a word." Why? Because before he spoke, the choir sang the hymn, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Jesus loves my soul." That thought so captivated my attention, those words so reverberated in my inner ear, I could hear nothing else. Jesus loves my soul. There used to be a popular bumper sticker that said, "If the cross offends you now, it will offend you more when you sit under it in judgment." The problem with that bumper sticker is the cross is not a tool of judgment. Our Lord says, "I didn't come into the world to judge the world. I came into the world to save the world." The cross is meant to be a life raft brought to the shores of each drowning person. It's meant to offer us the friendship of Christ. And it's only when we push the raft away that we judge ourselves to drown. "I'll be with you always." The friendship of Christ, is that some glib, superficial, pious phrase? Or is it the very essence by which we live? The friendship of Christ. This man who lived a historical life, who carved out a historical personality, who embodied real virtues and offers us real strength and sustenance, who loves us without qualification, who does not hold our past against us, who offers us room to grow, who gives us second chances, who abides with us, laughs with us, cries with us. This is the one who says, "Lo, I am with you always. I'll be there for you." May we truly claim those words and go forth and bear fruit, spiritual fruit that abides. May we pray together. Lord, you indeed have chosen us to claim your friendship. May we treasure that friendship, and may we indeed go forth and bear fruit. May our faith bear fruit. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen.